Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. Caitlin, what thought crimes are we committing today?
So many. And we're not alone. There's thought crimes all over the place today. It is a big thought crime day.
So much wrong think.
Yeah. Criminality high.
Criminality of the mind.
Dung dung. Yeah, I just finished watching Tim Black on Alex Jones today.
What the fuck?
Okay, yeah, that actually happened. That's a crime. Surely we're not allowed to do that.
Oh man, they are gonna shit bricks over that. There's gonna be so many people upset about that. We'll alienate the centrists. Those centrists who've been so useful and helpful this whole time. You'll alienate them. They right. won't want to help you in the way that they never have at all, ever.
Right. Tim Black represents, man. He was so good. He looked so schmick. He had his black suit on. God, he looked great. And he was fantastic.
So he was, and he didn't like compromise on his principles or anything. He was there as a leftist, as a progressive.
Very much held his shape. Yeah.
That's important to be able to do.
In fact, he started talking about gun rights. So,
right.
Start the ball rolling with a contentious.
Gun control, yeah.
Yeah, gun control, yeah. So, and then went on from there. But it was really good. It was, Alex Jones is kind of a little harsh on the ears sometimes. He's like a screeching koala bear.
I love his voice.
Do you?
I love it. It's like a lullaby to me.
That cannot be true. You must be lying.
The most natural sound. It's like being in the womb. I find it pacifying.
If you're a Tyrannosaurus Rex, maybe.
But yeah, it's not easy to hold your shape when you're around something, a creature like that.
No, yeah.
But yeah, he does that well, and that's really important for lefties to be able to do if you're going to, do cross-ideological collaboration. I noticed when you first started talking about, the need to reach across the aisle on issues of convergence, a lot of conservatives showed up when you would make a socialist argument or make fun of capitalism or whatever, and they would say, oh, hey, well, you don't want to say that because we're trying to collaborate. You don't want to alienate the libertarians. And it's like, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
I still have the values that I have.
I am me.
Yeah.
And you be you.
But we collaborate on issues of convergence.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't mean I kowtow to all of your MAGA agendas.
Yeah. And, and that means we can fight over things, too.
Right, yeah. Spirited debate is fine. That's not out of it. You argue about all the other stuff just as much as you did before. It's just, you don't be like, no, cooties.
Yeah, so funny, though. I just feel like we're explaining normal.
It's so, you have to. Because political echo chambers are the opposite of normal.
Right, but we're just explaining what people do every single day.
That's true. But maybe these people don't.
I mean, if you drive a car, you're collaborating with people of different ideologies to do something to keep you safe. It's very natural, very normal. But we end up having to explain how to do it all the time. Yeah. But Tim Black did a great job.
Yeah,
that was really cool. We just watched Lee Camp and Jimmy Dore.
It's kind of fun. I just want to say, I think it's kind of funny that when you were on Tim Black's show, he gave you a hard time about putting a Paul Joseph Watson video in one of your Medium articles.
Yeah.
Now he's on InfoWars. It's like, maybe he's had a bit of a flash of insight there.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, he did take me to task a bit when I was on there about the JPW video.
Which was actually correct. I mean, it was about, what was it? It was about how, the left has lost its cool factor. It just fucking has. It was an important point. They're just like all nerdy and stuff, and it's not a good selling point. They're losing the culture war.
You can't be cool as well as be like
cheerleading for the FBI.
Yeah, be little Pollyanna's, you know, like correcting everyone, tone policing everyone, and just that they were never the cool kids at school. Never. Yeah. So yeah, he did. I thought he made a good point, and I would still use that video if it ever, ever needed to. But anyway, you know,
yeah, it's great. Yeah, better late than never.
Yeah, and he did fantastic.
He was wonderful, and he's a great representative of that. And I hope it brings him a lot more traffic too, because he's good medicine.
Oh, he's so great. I really hope that really like lifts his profile heaps, because he's really enjoyable to watch. And yeah, I just think he's fantastic. But anyway, so that was good. What else? There's been so much weird stuff today. Like Ian 5678971111.
Yeah. Oh man, how great was that?
That was so fantastic. Oh my, so okay, so because that feels like an age ago, but that was today, wasn't it? We didn't talk about that yesterday.
This was today, Australia Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the English and Americans are on a whole other day than they were.
I know. I can't work that out. So I just go.
But that was today for us.
Yes. So yeah. So. So how do we like? All right. So there was the UK government. I think it started with, did it? Or was it?
Well, I think it's first started with one of those Louise Mensch accounts.
Oh, yeah.
And drew attention to Ian's thing. And that, you know how it gets bumped up? Like, you know how the White Helmets tweet something and then Elliot Higgins tweets it. And then before you know it, it goes up this chain of larger and larger profiles until it's on the Washington Post and the BBC or whatever.
Right.
That's sort of what happened with Ian. He was one of those Louise Mensch accounts.
This is how they get around. Can I just say that process is how they get around the verifying sources. So if you know, journalism as a rule, you either have a primary source or you verify it with two secondary sources. And so if they can get some tin pot crazy lady like Louise Mensch talks about it, that's fine. But if she can get it, like, that doesn't go anywhere. But if someone else can then retweet it, and then that it just goes up the chain of command, and then before you know it, you can actually make a story out of it because it's in three or four publications that have a big name.
Right.
And so it suddenly becomes fact just by dint of the fact that it has been reported in, you know, several esteemed outlets. So,
right. So what I saw, and I'm sure there was parts of it missing that I missed, but I saw there's a Louise Menchie account or a Louise Mensch affiliated account, and then that got the attention of an Atlantic Council guy.
Right.
You know, an Elliot Higgins affiliate, that same shady neocon NATO think tank that's behind all the Syria stuff, all the Russian hacking stuff. They have ties to the CrowdStrike, the DNC hack story.
If it's dodgy, you can be sure that the Atlantic Council is behind it in some way, shape, or form. Isn't that right?
Right, yeah. So this Atlantic Council guy accused Ian, along with like a Ukrainian-American pianist with a pretty big name, of being Kremlin bots. And then that got everyone's attention, and it just went viral throughout social media. And all these blue ticks were on Twitter. Were talking about how this Ian guy is a fake account.
Meanwhile, I was thinking, come on, deny it. This is bad. You know, this is so dangerous.
Right.
Ian, come on, because he wasn't. He was playing along quite a lot.
Well, like, he would just like kind of deflect, right? He was like, he would be like, oh, those neocons are trying to frame me and stuff, and that's all he would say. Really.
Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't just come out and say, yeah, I'm an ordinary person, and here's who I am. But so it just kept going and going and going. And since nobody put the brakes on it, it got all the way up into The Guardian.
Yes.
And they ran a Guardian piece about how him and Partisan Girl, who's just a journalist who lives here in Australia.
Yeah.
and how they're Russian bots. And the Guardian wrote a story about it, and the author of the story was just like, well, yeah, but that's what the government says, so I just report what the government says.
Which is just the most damning thing you can say as a journalist.
Yeah, no, I'm just a stenographer.
Yeah, that's right. No, you're a journalist. You're the fourth estate, lady. Like, you're meant to hold them to it. Like, if they say something, then you go and check it. That's the idea. That's your job. But no, apparently she just blah.
That doesn't happen anymore. So yeah, so it swept across the world that this fellow is a Kremlin bot. This Twitter account is a fake Kremlin bot, and then they have him on Sky News. They get him on Sky News for an interview, and it turns out he's just some fucking guy. Yes. He's just a dude.
Which is great. I mean, I really like, you know, because I was thinking, come on, like, let him know. But he gave him enough rope to hang themselves.
Right. If he would have done that earlier on, if he would have done that a week or two ago, then this never would have happened. They would have been like, all right, well, then we can't push that. And he was just like, no.
So they had him on Skype in his home or whatever. And, you know, he's just a nice guy with a different opinion.
Yeah, he's just a British guy. And they were like, you keep promoting an anti-British view. He's, no, I don't. I promote a very pro-British view. I just don't support the tiny fraction of the percentage of sociopaths who keep leading us into all these bullshit wars.
Yeah.
He was great.
He was actually fantastic. That was the other thing. He was really good talent.
Yeah.
Like, he was fantastic. You know, even when they put up a couple of tweets of his, one which he said that, you know, there was a little white lie in it. 150,000 tweets this guy has written.
This is from 2012.
Yeah, and he said,
busted, you told one minor fib in 2012.
Out of 150,000. Tweets. An ordinary guy on Twitter, all right? Like, you know, wow. So and that's the most damning thing that they could find. So clearly the guy's much more honest than most people.
Yes. So he's just a guy. He's literally just a random Twitter user with an opinion.
Yeah.
And they're like grilling him. Well, how are you fact checking all of these tweets that you make? All of these anti-British tweets. How are you? He's not a journalist. He's not a politician. He's a fucking guy. He's just a dude retweeting things. Who do you people think you are? What do you think this is? He's allowed to have an opinion. He does not actually have to justify it. He can tweet pure lies all the time. 100% of the time. That would be fine. And lots of people do that.
Yeah.
But he didn't. They found one fib from many years ago.
The problem was that he was tweeting truth. That's the actual issue.
It wasn't the lies that were the problem. It was the truth that was the problem. That's why they kept trying to shout him down. But he gave it right back.
He really did.
He talked about Theresa May's shady ties to the war profiteers and stuff.
Yeah, through her husband and everything. Like, that story's not got much... it hasn't got much play at all. And he put it right there on Sky News. He
forced it right in there on the Rupert Murdoch Media. And he was really, what I think was most impressive about it was he said he had this long, drawn-out negotiation with the Sky News people where he forced them to have a live interview with him.
Right. See, that's so clever. Edit. Yeah.
That's brilliant, because you always hear people getting fucked over and cropped and edited. Julian Assange I've seen talking about it. Cassandra Fairbanks I've seen talking about it. Anyone anti-establishment, they'll snip stuff you say out of context. They'll just take a tiny little bit. They just fucked over Anoa Changa. They took a tiny little thing that she said after out of many, many things. They snipped a tiny little portion of their interview with her to fit their narrative and all the things, all the many, many things that contradicted what she was trying to say.
Mm.
They snipped out of there. They're total pricks, and they're shameless in the way they'll do this. So he was really smart. He's not anyone who's been like in the public sphere at all, but he obviously knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He handled that like a seasoned veteran.
He really did. So that was awesome. Reminding me too of, you know, what total pricks they are. There's been a Mr. Smith goes to Washington moment too in Syria as right. well. That was another thing that happened today. So there's this awesome journalist called Pearson Sharp, I think, or Sharp Pearson.
Pearson Sharp.
Sharp Pearson doesn't make any sense, does it? Anyway, so he's got this great, all-American face, doesn't he? Like,
yeah.
And he's just obviously a really honest, nice kind of guy. Kind
of mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
Something like that. One American News.
Yeah. Now, this guy turned up. So One American News sent him to Syria. He got bussed in and stuff. Leapt out at Douma and went and found the story, like journalists are meant to do. Went and asked questions.
He was just like, well, here's my journalism textbook. It says I'm meant to do this. Okay.
Walk up to random people in the street, ask them questions, do the hard work, you know, like there's, yeah, shoot.
Well, hello, my name's Pearson Sharp. Tell us what your story is. Here's my translator. You tell me the thing. Just like the thing that you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So he was doing that. And so he can't, you know, he's gathering all these kind of uncomfortable facts that, like, people are like, well, we don't know what they mean by chemical weapons attack. There was no chemical weapons attack. Here, he went to the place where it was meant to be. There was no kind of, like, it was just like, wow, this is really not happening here. This is, something else is going on here other than the mainstream narrative. Anyway, so he's been doing that for a few days now. But now he's been watching the journalists that he went in with. He's been watching some of their stories about what they're putting out. And he's like, I cannot believe it. I talked to the same people as them and they're getting the same story as me. And then they turn around back to the camera and tell a completely different story. And I don't understand what's going on. His mind is blown because it's like, you know, he just went there thinking he would do an honest job, and it turns out that that's just not what's happening.
That's not what you're meant to do. And our friend Shane Bauer.
Oh, our friend, yes.
The Mother Jones reporter who called for Medium to ban you from its from Medium to delete your account.
Yeah.
Because of the stuff that you've been writing about Syria. He was bitching about this this Pearson Sharp guy and saying that and how outraged he is that the Syrian regime only lets in these inexperienced reporters.
Yeah.
they only let in inexperienced reporters who can be easily manipulated. By which he apparently means these ones who haven't yet been indoctrinated
right.
into the whatever weird cult thing it is that's causing them to not report what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And allows him to just go in all fresh-faced and do the thing according to the textbook.
Do the actual job.
But it was especially hilarious about that was he says that they only let in inexperienced journalists.
Well, who's Robert Fisk then? You fuckknuckle.
Idiot.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't get more experience in Middle Eastern affairs than Robert Fisk. But anyway, like, I have been thinking this for a long time. All it would take is just normal fucking people to get into these positions, into the media, into government, into just, you know, being interviewed on Sky News. Just average, everyday people have more common sense than any of those fucktards who have been totally, like, they've become monsters. They've been made monstrous by the brainwashing and by the just slow drip, drip, drip of being worn down by the institutions that pay them. So, yeah, I just think it's great. It's been a wonderful day for everyday people.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's just normal people. You got a normal person on Sky News, and normal, and that one American news station. Like, I kind of forgot that was a thing. Like, I'd seen it on, like, flipping through cable in America years ago. I'd right. noticed it and gone like, huh. Well, this is like I'm not used to hearing this sort of thing on on cable news, but Yeah, it kind of came out of left field. What the fuck?
They still do journalism there?
Yeah, there's like, that's still a thing, and they got a person in Duma?
Yeah.
That was great, though.
Yeah. So, and so, also, other great news, too. So, this relates to the article. So, there's been a bit of a win. Well, who knows? Look, I'm remaining skeptical. But certainly Trump has had a political win anyway on North Korea. And so the title is Trump Scores Major North Korea Points. Dems sue WikiLeaks for telling the truth. It's, you know, wow. Wow. So we're coming up to the midterms and this is how we're going to play it, are we, Dems? Like, Trump's just had a massive win today.
So what happened with North Korea?
Okay, so I'll read out his tweets. North Korea has agreed to suspend all nuclear tests and close up a major test site. This is very good news for North Korea and the world. Big progress! Exclamation mark. Look forward to our summit. And then his next tweet is, I mean, he did this in reverse, but anyway. Just heard the campaign was sued by obstructionist Democrats. This can be good news in that we will now counter for the DNC server they refused to give to the FBI, the Wendy Wasserman Schultz servers, and documents held by the Pakistani mystery man and Clinton emails.
Wendy Wasserman Schultz.
Wendy Wasserman Schultz. This guy, I can't work him out. He's either a fucking genius or, like, just Mr. Chaos. Like, how? So he fucked up her name. Her name is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So everyone went on Twitter and was like, ha ha, Wendy Wasserman Schultz. All the resistance people did
it. Was
that
trending. Everyone was sharing screenshots of this tweet where he's talking about the fucking Awan brothers.
Right.
Which you... That's not a story that they're meant to be sharing.
The resistance people, guys, you really need to stay away from the Awan brothers story. That is damning.
That's one you want to get buried.
Yes. The Pakistani mystery man.
And yeah, he didn't even say it. He said the Pakistani mystery man. And so everyone's like buzzing around asking it. You know, there are dozens of stories that come out going out. Well, he's probably talking about the Awan thing.
Yeah.
Got more coverage in the last 24 hours than it's probably gotten ever in the mainstream media because of one tweet where he said the wrong name.
Yeah, and then he actually deleted it and put up her real name for the next tweet, but still...
The damage was done, though, and it worked. I mean, he got his thing out. He got his... I mean, that was really damaging to the Democratic Party and their DNC servers.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to talk about the DNC servers, but he got them all talking about that.
Right, yeah.
Got them all sharing that information out there. It's like...
Yeah.
If that wasn't a brilliant chess move, then he's like a kind of Mr. Magoo, Inspector Gadget, blundermaster.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. I'll take it. It's great.
Like, yeah.
So that was really funny. That will be very interesting, especially the discovery process. Like, if it goes that far.
That's I've what heard, I hear, yeah.
I heard also some people say, well, maybe. Look, the Dems are in a world of pain financially.
All right, so wait, tell us about the lawsuit first. What is that?
Oh, right, the lawsuit. Right. So, yeah, the Democrats have decided that they're going to sue Russia, Trump, and WikiLeaks for losing the election, I guess. Like, what did they call it?
It's conspiring to give the 2016 election to Trump. I'm not sure how you sue a presidential campaign for trying to give the election to itself. So I'm not sure what the Trump campaign is doing there.
I really... The whole thing was so funny that I actually, the first headline that I saw, I had to check if it was satire or not. It just was just hilarious. So, yeah, so that's where they've decided they're going to put their efforts. I don't understand it, other than maybe they're trying to fundraise and, you know, they'll bring in money for, you know, support us in our lawsuit and stuff, which will bring in a lot of money.
That's true. That's true. This, you can say we're suing all these three people that you hate. I hadn't even thought of that.
Right. I've heard that mentioned around. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Yeah. But still, like, so WikiLeaks has gone, excellent. What fun. Let's countersue. This will be great. So they're having the best time on Twitter about this. Like, you can tell they haven't had a good time. Like,
yeah, apparently they don't need Assange to kick ass and take names. Yeah. That crew, whoever is behind those tweets, they're doing a number on the establishment.
Yeah, but they haven't had much good news lately. It has been a month, I guess, of just horror.
Well, it's been awful for us, I know.
Yeah.
So, everyone who cares about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, but anyway, they had a good time. Mm. And because Keith Ellison tweeted out this, I don't even need to fucking tell you. It's, you know, it's just as Americans, patriotic as we are, and like, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Flags and bald eagles and babies.
Yes.
White babies.
This is Keith Ellison, the progressive, right? Mm. Is filing this lawsuit because Russia and anyone who supported their interference in the 2018 election must be held accountable. And WikiLeaks tweeted back at them, Keith, do you think we have the right to lie without being exposed by WikiLeaks is really a vote winner?
That's the plan.
That's what we're going with. I can't believe it's such a train wreck. Oh my God. They won't do it. They'd never, ever, like, universal healthcare. They've got all these, like, goals that they could just keep right now. Just go hard. Go hard on the progressive platform. It's clearly the popular choice. You know, even I see Andrew Cuomo is trying to, like, rebrand himself as the next Bernie Sanders. Like, it's so weird. I know. But yeah, so I mean, like, he's got his finger on the fucking pulse or whatever.
It's like Jeb Bush trying to rebrand himself as Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I know. It's cute, isn't it?
It's adorable.
Yeah. But yeah, they just don't seem to be able to get it together. It's just nightmare for them.
Yeah, so you got Trump is scoring up big, racking up big wins. You know, he's not. It's not actually his win. Like, that was mostly South Korea. That did all the heavy lifting with this deal. That don't matter. Like, he looks awesome. That tweet I saw that he made celebrating the North Korea thing got more shares than almost anything I've ever seen his things get. It's his base is really energized about it and excited, and All the QAnon people are like, yeah, see, we were right. Yes. Okay, guys, it's not like this hasn't been in the news for months. But it's still big news, and it's a huge win for him, and it will go along, unless something major happens, it'll go a long way in the midterms. And the Dems, at best, are staging a fake lawsuit to scrape together a little money.
Yeah, so that they can actually run a campaign or two.
Best case. Worst case scenario, they're actually trying to sue WikiLeaks.
In which case, oh my God, that's going to be, like, do they want to do that? Wow. Reminds me, because we've been watching that, what is it, Wild World.
The Osho cult.
Thing on Netflix. Mm. And it all goes wrong for Osho. So he's this, you know, Indian guru who went to the States and stuff and created a whole freaking city. And it's a big cult and stuff. It got very dark. But it all went very wrong for him when he actually started accusing people of crimes, and then the FBI could get involved, and then suddenly, like, all their dirty laundry is being aired, and
suddenly he was being investigated.
He was found himself on the pointy end of the law. This is just reminded me so much of that. It's like, do you really want to invite like lawyers into? You'll have to hand over the server. This is just.
And if you don't, it's going to be a big deal.
We're going to make it a big deal, Democrats.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at Republicans gearing up for some major, major wins, and Democrats gearing up for even more losses.
That's quite unbelievable, considering where they're at right now anyway.
Yeah, how is that still happening? I guess, is it because they pushed this whole neoliberal corporatism, neoconservative, warmongering thing as far as it could possibly go, and now everyone is just kind of like at breaking point with them?
They
killed the progressive base too much?
Yeah, yeah. Look, they ran a major risk anyway of trying to keep the Russia hysteria going until 2018, from, you know, November 2016, or it was actually before that, wasn't it? Right up to this point. That was always going to be a big ask.
It's hard to stay hysterical for that long. I've tried.
It's tiring. Yeah. Recently?
I can do maybe like 5 minutes of total hysteria. And I just get tired and I need to have a snack and lie down. Yeah. Too much.
Too much. So, yeah, I always thought that was like suboptimal thinking behind. But I've never really understood what the fuck they think anyway. Like, to me, it seems very, very obvious. They've got this, on the back of Bernie, they had this massive surge of energy, enthusiasm, real people, real votes, actual money. It was just like busting down the doors to this dying old party, you know, just wanting to like re-energize it and reinvent it and create like, and if they had have actually let that happen, they would have won for years and years to come. Who knows how long the Dems could have sustained, you know, on the back of that populism, because, you know, people tend to forget that, you know, a Democratic vote is a popularity contest. You got to have popular people. You can't just do it off donors and just sheer dogged shaming, guilting people into like putting their boots on and getting out there and voting, because if they don't vote for this they'll get the major evil.
With their whole argument is basically like, you have to vote for us or you don't get to have reproductive rights anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens to them.
How disgusting is that? It should just be like, how about fuck you? Give me what I want.
Yes. Yeah, and reproductive rights. Yeah. Like, you know, it's one of those things too. Like, I can't see them. Reproductive rights is never going to change. Gun rights, I can't see changing either. They're those Chinese finger trap issues that keep everyone very, very busy, but they're never going to change, and they're just really busy boxes for people to play with and shout at each other. So, yeah, as long as they can keep the chatter within those groups and they're comfortable, but they can't. People are demanding, like, real change. The unions are having a resurgence all over the states now. The teachers' unions are having some gains. And that's a real, you know, all it takes is for them to win a few things and people start going, oh, shit, okay, oh, we could do that. And then you've got unions upon unions. Like, no matter what, busting laws, when people get together and they decide something's going to happen, it will happen. It has to happen. So, yeah, and the Democrats could have been using all of that energy right now. They could have been right there.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also, I mean, it's their job to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yes, we didn't know that, though, did we? It really literally is their job to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, they are there to
gatekeep.
Yeah, they're be like, oh, over here, guys, over here. You want healthcare? Over here, right here. Come right into this cul-de-sac right here. Good. We're just going to close this cage door. Don't worry. Right on in here. Here's into your pens. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can put those feed bags on your faces. This is where you live now. Yeah. And just keep everyone diddling this ridiculous party, which is owned and operated by oligarchs and war profiteers who have no interest in ever seeing anything change. It's just the stupider ones back the Republicans, the stupider oligarchs back the Republicans because they're like, ooh, yeah, I get a little bit lower taxes. The smart oligarchs back the Democrats because they know as long as they have control over that side of the political spectrum, they're not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah. But that's part of the problem is that, you know, we've even had like Mr. Stephen Klubeck come out and do his own, get out on the hustings himself. You do not want those oligarchs, those plutocrats, those donors to be doing your...
Who let that happen?
I know.
Who let Stephen Klubeck start talking to people? Yeah. Going on MSNBC. No. I know what the people need to hear. Like, normally you get the propagandists to work stuff. They know how to phrase things. They just let an oligarch go out on the camera. No, I know what to say to them. You idiots. You idiots. You have to be nice to rich people. Stop being stupid. You stupid slaves. Give us what we want. No taxes and everything.
And shut up about your healthcare.
Stop whining. Don't use the B word. You're not allowed to say billionaire. It's offensive. He said that. He actually said, don't say.
Meanwhile, you can hear Nancy Pelosi in the background going, oh my God.
But he was on there saying he owns Pelosi. He was
That's
no,
what
I called Pelosi and I told her, no, you're not allowed to jump on that Bernie Sanders bandwagon. No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I know. That was just so revealing. And like that is happening all over the place. So yeah, we're really seeing who the people are, you know, who these assholes are and who the real people are. It's very, very cool. Maybe this is, you know, which of those words is it? The apocalypse is like the casting back of the veil?
Yes, that's apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah, well, it does feel like, you know, but it turned out the veil was like the curtain to the Wizard of Oz, really. It's just like, wow, so you guys have been real busy behind there, haven't you? You know, fronted up by all these very smart, savvy, artistic, creative people who've been using all their talents to reframe the disgusting things these assholes have been doing to us in a way that we can actually, you know, accept. So, yeah, it's just, whoa, it's really weird. 2018 is really weird.
It's so exciting. What was that George Galloway tweet we were looking at recently? He was like, this is the year. This is the year where the mass media machine finally died and alternative media took over.
Right.
That's the way he said it and who was saying it. I don't know. Something about it felt he was kind of planting a flag.
Mm.
It felt very appropriate.
It felt sparkling good, didn't it? Mm. It did. It resonated. It was like, yeah, actually I can see that. I can see that we're already there even. Mm. We could probably even plant the flag this week. Just feels different. Everything feels different.
They're acting frantic for a reason, man.
Yeah. Well, this Syria thing, they just cannot get off the ground. Like, there's just more and more people going, I don't think so.
Just like, oh, yeah, but we told you that you have to think that. Yeah. I don't, what part of this are you not understanding? And everyone's just like, nah.
Yeah. You know, just regular people too who haven't even really been paying attention are just like, I'm trying to work this out. It's all very confusing, but it feels like Iraq 2.0. It's like, well, yeah, that's right. That's actually true.
That's exactly what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, good job. So, yeah. So that's been the week.
Shall we wrap?
Yeah.
Caitlin is an entirely listener and reader-supported journalist. So if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, and on CaitlinJohnston.com, where you can get on a mailing list to get an email notification whenever she publishes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on, people.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
Katie, oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh, Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. talking, Katie. Oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady. They're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh, maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie. Oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie. Oh, Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love you, girlfriend.